Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the US with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the US? They have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. I love Fast Growing Trees because Drew and I love gardening and stuff like that, but we always forget to run our little errands on the weekend where we go to the nurseries and say, I'd like that tree over there, please. But instead, I can just sit my booty on the couch, type in fastgrowingtrees.com, and get whatever plant I want. I just recently ordered a lemon tree because, mama, when life gives you lemons, you can make lemonade and lots of delicious lemon-flavored desserts, which I'm excited about. And it's going to get to my door in 1 to 2 days, and then I'll have so many lemons. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code MORBID at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code MORBID at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code MORBID. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hey, weirdos, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And this is Morbid.
It's a listener tales morbid.
It's April 1st. Happy. I was literally just going to say happy National Fool's Day.
Yay.
You're all fools.
Happy National Fool's Day.
April Fools, you're not a fool.
No, you know, it's weird. It feels like it's been a while since a listener tales episode, but it's only been a month.
Huh. That is weird.
Doesn't it feel like it's been a while?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I don't know. Here we are, though.
I love these.
Sometimes I feel like when we go through like a bunch of like pretty gnarly tales.
Yep.
And then we're like, oh, let's do a listener tales episode. It's our way of being like, let's all collectively take a breath.
Oh, yeah. And I have a pretty gnarly case planned for like probably the next couple weeks. So
I have a fun one. So we have a lot planned coming up. So we figured we would give you a little... I say a breather, but then I'm going to start you off with the first listener tale, and you're going to be like, oh, a breather, eh?
Elena literally just goes, oh, I've got a real fucked up one. And the twinkle in her eye when she said that to me, I was like, okay.
I was like, she was like, I'm going to start with this one. I was like,
okay.
Because you come into Listener Tales being like, ooh, what a time. And some people are like, Listener Tales, what? Don't worry.
Listener Tales.
This is a listener tale.
So without further ado.
So let's do this. This one's called Dark Web Red Room.
I am all set. Thank you, though.
So anything that begins dark web, I'm immediately like, no, 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 or yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
It's so
I'm immediately like, I don't want to go into the dark web, but I'll let you tell me about the dark web.
I only want to hear certain things about the dark web, but I don't want to go anywhere near
that. I need
to
know how one finds themselves on the dark web.
You have to go through steps. It's a process.
Are you not worried about viruses on your computer? Because that would worry me.
Well,
if you hear a shaking, it's just the treat jar.
Well, if you listen to this tale, you will be worried about viruses and stuff. So almost like you knew, but you didn't. All right, let's start. So this is called Dark Web Red Room. Lots of exclamation points.
I love that.
It says, hi, my fellow weirdos.
Hi, my fellow weirdos.
Hi. That's how she wrote
it. Okay, Uncle Joey.
No, she just wrote hi. Hi, my fellow weirdos. My name is Kaylee. Hi, Kaylee.
Hey.
And yes, you can definitely use my name, but only if you shout out my best friend, Carrie, who introduced me to your podcast. Hi, Carrie. Thank you so much.
Carrie, ILESM.
And then it says, the bitch would be heated if I didn't include her in the story and I got put into a listener tale. So hi, Carrie. Thank you so much. Kaylee loves you. We love you.
Don't be heated.
This story will more than likely be all over the place and probably get really long. But yeah, you read the title, right? Now, this is not my story, but it is my boyfriend's. And it's a real event that happened to him that still haunts him to this day. It's also led me to try to play detective. I'll explain that shortly.
Be careful.
Hold on to your butts, because shit is about to get pretty crazy.
Holding on to my booty.
Like every child in the 2000s, I had a natural curiosity for the internet. I learned about Greek mythology, the Titanic, Atlantis, and so much more from the likes of Google and Wikipedia. Naturally, I was destined to be curious about the more hidden side of the great World Wide Web. Around 2019, I got really into true crime again, watching more YouTube videos, Netflix shows, listening to podcasts, etc. After one day of boredom, I decided I was going to take my first trip to the world of .onion. It suggested that you have a Tor browser for added protection. I'm imagining that .onion is the dark web, I assume. I don't know anything
about
the
dark web. All I can think of
web.
Is like The Onion.
Yeah, I don't think it's The Onion.
It's definitely not. The Onion is great.
But it's true that it does like immediately make you be like, The Onion?
Yeah, like that doesn't sound so
that
dark.
That fun place? No, because I know you have to go to like a separate browser. It's like all this craziness. So I guess that's what it
the
is.
The separate browser is actually secretly Bing.com.
It's just Bing.
Do you remember Bing?
It's just AskJeeves.com.
What is that?
What?
I don't know what that is.
You were too young for Ask Jeeves?
Yeah.
It was literally like a butler who was like, Ask Jeeves. And it was just Google, but it was like asking this internet butler.
Oh,
and
that's
he would tell
fun.
You. You'd be like, hi, Jeeves. What is the color of Barpeter?
So he was like less Siri than Siri.
He was less Siri than Siri. Okay. He was the OG Siri.
All right.
So she went on .onion. It suggested that you have a Tor browser for added protection and a hefty chunk of change towards additional encryption protection when venturing into the world of the darker web. Basically, you should have every single thing that could track anyone to you covered the fuck up.
But like, how am I supposed to know?
You're not.
Oh my God, the next sentence.
That's what they bank on. It's recommended that you don't exist when you're on the dark web. My stupid ass, thinking I knew everything, decided Tor was good enough for me and cannonballed right on him.
Girl.
I'm so scared for you. I found myself on chat rooms and sites to hire hitmen, and shit was pretty damn weird. I ended up getting off after a few hours because something about it was starting to unnerve me. Yay for finally listening to your gut instinct, you dumb bitch. I didn't say that, she did, just putting that out there. And I called it a night. The literal next morning, my laptop started glitching and messing up. Stop. My files were deleting themselves and things on it were missing. I just assumed Old Faithful, that was a graduation present from high school, had finally hit retirement.
No.
And it was time for me to get a new one. After hearing my boyfriend's story, it honestly made me start thinking a little harder.
Are you guys ready? I'm so nervous.
Fast forward to July or August of 2020. My boyfriend and I had just started dating, and somehow we got on the topic of the dark web, as one does.
Oh, yeah.
This is when he drops a damn bomb. He said, I saw people get murdered.
I'm sorry,
and
what?
She wrote, insert record scratch. I remember asking him what he meant, as if I suddenly couldn't understand English. My boyfriend ended up explaining to me that when he was younger, I think 12, but I could be wrong, he had gone on the dark web and the site he was on froze. He could not get out of it. In the corner of the screen, a little black box appeared with a little monkey in it. He clicked on the monkey and it prompted him to do something. He kind of glazed over that, but like I said, it has been several years now, and compared to what happened next, it's probably the last thing he thought to recall. He ended up going to this screen with multiple people in view of the camera that was live streaming. My boyfriend didn't have a webcam at this point, thankfully, so no one running the site could see where he was, leave the live stream multiple times during what all was going on. He was stuck on this screen, forced to watch these multiple people be murdered and tortured to death. He could not leave the screen. When he tried to, a chat box popped up and somehow told him where he was.
What?
His parents' names? His name, his siblings' names, etc.
What the fuck?
He was absolutely terrified, and he left the screen up and left the room. He didn't know how long the live stream lasted, but based off his tone, it sounded like it had been for a while. My boyfriend told me that after that day, he had absolutely zero desire to go on the dark web ever again.
Yeah, I hope not.
As for me, I'm personally bothered by the fact that there are people out there wondering what happened to these people my boyfriend saw die all those years ago. They have no clue where the person is and might even be holding out hope that the person they love is alive. And here my boyfriend is, knowing exactly what happened to them, and yet there is no way to relay the story and information on these victims to the people who loved them. Well, that's my story for you guys today. I hope it petrifies you as much as it does me. I love your podcast, and it's the only thing that makes mornings, long drives, work, and so much more even mildly enjoyable. Lots of love, Kaylee. P.S. Keep it weird, but not so weird that you take it away, Ash.
Not so weird that you're just perusing the internet one day, and then you say to yourself, OMG, maybe I should peruse on over to Dot Onion. Oh, wait, maybe I shouldn't, because then everybody there will know exactly who I am and what street I live on and that my sister's name is Lauren. Oh, my God, I'm terrified. Bye.
I hate it.
What?
I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that.
Computers are so scary, dude.
It's, you don't think about it. And there's just so many, like the little camera at the top of your thing.
Oh, I am a narc, and I used to have that like duct taped.
You're a narc.
Like,
that's, you should tape it.
So scary. Like, but now, then now, like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, fuck, mine's not taped right
but
now.
But then even like your iPhone. Phone. Like, wasn't Instagram, like...
I was just going to say that recently. Yeah. Instagram, like, I don't know if they got sued or anything like that, but it came out that they can see you, like, scrolling while you're scrolling through Instagram. They can watch you through
Which,
your front camera.
Which, what a strange thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, the view that you're getting is just me and my double chin.
The amount of people that they are watching with a double chin sitting on the toilet.
Yeah.
That's... all they're seeing.
Yeah, I don't. Do you know Selena Spooky Boo from
TikTok? Yes, of course
TikTok.
I know Selena Spooky Boo.
I think it was her, and she posted a TikTok, and it was like the view that the FBI has right now, and she and it was like looked like she was like on the toilet, like literally like. Burr. I am obsessed with her.
Are you the kind of person who loves a touch-up on the go, or maybe you're a full glam while in the carpool kind of human? Maybe there's no time for a full face in the morning between kids, pets, work, all of that. Maybe you woke up late. Well, Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation is perfect for those moments when life moves fast. I absolutely love this foundation because it doesn't settle into any fine lines or wrinkles, and you can just toss this thing in your purse. You say, oh my gosh, I have a little smudge right here. Let me fix it really quick. It's perfect. And it's now in 16 shades. It offers SPF 20, which, like, that's amazing. It's got moisturizing pro vitamin B5. And I love the applicator. It's a blurring sponge. So you can just tap, tap, tap it to reset your foundation and you are good. Shop Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation. Travel's great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com or call 877-290-1880. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
It's honestly this story, Kaylee, that story just like really messed me up and I hate it.
Yeah.
And I feel for your boyfriend, especially him at 12 years old, not knowing what to do with that.
No.
And that's horrifying.
Not being able to get out.
And knowing that this is the world.
Yeah.
Wow. I hate that exists.
I know how bleak the world is, but it's even bleaker than I think.
It's the dark web will really... I think that'll really just destroy any shred of anything you got left.
I just don't get it. I don't get the draw.
Ooh, it's curiosity.
You never know where it killed the cat,
curiosity,
though.
Man. I'll stick to Rotten.com. That's as far as I'll get.
No, I'll stick to, like, oxygen on my television that does not have a camera, to there my knowledge.
Whew. All right, Kaylee, you really started us off on a bang.
Well, I'm going to take us to a paranormal land. And there this you one go. Is called... Listener tales, my house is a fucking cock block.
I love that so much.
And it says, hey, ladies, I'll start in typical fashion and say how much I adore you. I specifically identify with your relationship as I am a Gemini. Looking at you, Ash. Apparently, we even sound the same when we talk. Hair flip emoji. I'm sorry that you have my voice. Literally everyone important in my life is somehow a Capricorn.
Yes.
I am surrounded by Capricorns.
Yes.
Your podcast is amazing, and I'm so glad you took my podcast, Cherry. I'm so glad we did.
I feel good about it.
I love all things spoopy, and the way you talk about true crime, making it both educational and entertaining, is amazing. The Toy Box Killer episodes thoroughly destroyed me, and I also base all episodes off that one to determine whether I can quote-unquote hang or not.
Yes.
So far, so good. Thank God for a palate cleanser and Woody banter. Everybody wants those palate cleansers back.
I know.
You're going to have to start paying
for it. We're going to have to creep them in.
Yeah. This one is a long one, so if you decide to read it, feel free to cut as you please. You can say my name and all my deets. My friends and family already know how insane this story is, and I'm shocked no one has involuntarily committed me, as I usually get a blank stare afterwards.
Amazing.
My name is Kara. I know, right? My name is Kara, and I'm from Pittsburgh. Hashtag black and yellow. I remember that song. I have always been super secretive to energies, and everyone low-key thinks my mom is a witch. I love that. I accurately predicted multiple deaths in my family because the person appeared to me beforehand, so I'm not too easily spooked by the supernatural. That's a story all in itself, but it's a great setup to this one. I bought my beautiful old historic, plaque-wearing 1920s house about a year ago. Oh my god, I'm so jealous. Things were Gucci for about 1 week when the first ghost sighting happened. I woke up around 3 a.m. to an old woman standing in my bedroom doorway. I usually sleep on my side with my face towards the door by habit, and I literally woke up, saw Grams in the doorway, rolled over. In my dreamlike state, I couldn't have given a single fuck. So great, nothing uncomfortable about her just standing there observing me. She was probably just curious about who this new bitch was in her house.
I love how chill you were about that, because I would have lost my damn mind.
Yeah, I would have lost it. A few weeks later, I had a, quote, dream where I got up and went into my dining room. There was a young woman dressed in a long flowing dress looking out the window with her back to me. For some reason, Dream Kara decided to scream at her, "Get the fuck out of my house now!" And this poor lady turned around, looked very sad and confused, and opened up to say something, and I woke up. In bed, but with the light on, and I put my glasses on. What was weird is I couldn't tell if it was a dream or not, or if I had sleptwalked my way through the house. I'm not a sleepwalker, so that would have been fucking weird, but also some sad lady in my dining room is also fucking weird.
Truth.
Also, the cats weren't sleeping with me, which meant that I had royally pissed them off or had been moving around too much, which would make sense if I had actually gone into the living room. Things were cool for a few weeks until September. Fucking wake me up when September ends. Literally the entire month was an epic nightmare, so hold on to your butts. I started to get woken up every single night, multiple times a night, to the sounds of feet walking around my bed.
No.
Like I said, my house is 100 fucking years old. When you step on the old wooden floors, they make a very distinct sound. I mentioned my cats, and yes, I'm a 29-year-old cat lady. I have 3 fur babies. I can tell when, I can tell where they're at on the floor, and usually they don't circle the bed. They walk in, pounce on my face or neck, startling me awake, and then they settle and sleep. Wow, that's so relatable. But nah, this sound came into the bedroom, walked around the perimeter of my bed, and then stopped and entered the closet.
What?
I don't know. You do you. I want to make it clear that this shit escalated quickly. Like, the footsteps happened nightly. Then the black shadows started appearing. I'd wake up and see something by the bedroom door, and this little Speedy Gonzales shithead would shoot across the room. Again, this was occurring nightly. I also had a dream where I woke up literally choking on liquid. Like, I could feel liquid in my throat and lungs. Sat straight up in bed coughing and choking, and there was nothing in my throat. Remember this for later. So your girl...
I will.
Yeah, I will never forget
that. I won't forget that.
So your girl started to sleep with the light on because I'm not about that black orb life. I even started sleeping with glasses on after one night I woke up and saw black sketchy bullshit move one corner of the room towards the closet as if it was walking. I said, hell nah, and began with the light and the glasses combo.
I love that that's like we have cryptids, we have ghosts, we have witches. We have black sketchy bullshit.
I love it. That is.
Which one do you have in your home?
That is a black orb of spooky bullshit.
Black sketchy bullshit.
Obsessed. I had saged the house 95 times and nothing was working. I was getting approximately 3 hours of sleep each night and eventually decided to go on a metaphysical shop of a few blocks from my house. Also, weird side note, the area I live in, Pittsburgh, isn't super popular. So the fact that one of the only metaphysical shops in Pittsburgh is in my neighborhood struck me as odd. I go in and tell them about my haunts and they sell me all the crystals. I got some advice, and as my hand was on the door to leave, the girl at the counter goes, "Wait, where did you say you live?" My overtrusting ass tells them. She side-eyes the dude working with her, and they proceed to tell me that I live on the old Civil War depreciation grounds. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
My house is located on a very old plot of land in the city and has gone through many, many changes in ownership.
Ooh.
They also told me to, quote, watch out for my mirror placement.
Oh.
You're not supposed to have a mirror at the end of your bed. I know that's, like, very big in mirror land.
Oh, damn.
And at this point... ask me if the massive bags under my eyes wanted the fuck out of there to go smoke the ghosts out and maybe get 3.5 hours of sleep. I don't know how you would get stoned in your house if like ghosties were living
there. I think she was saying sage.
Oh.
Yeah that probably makes sense. I'm assuming.
Yeah, that actually makes a lot more sense.
I love that your head went totally different.
It did. Everything was cool for about 2 days and then it started again. I was cleaning the house on the weekend when I glanced up at the one mirror that had been left by the previous owner. Nothing unusual, but it's an old mirror and I felt compelled to look in that direction. Then, as if someone was literally pulling my chin in the other direction, I looked towards another mirror that was left by him as well and was in the perfect portal position.
Yeah, because you're not supposed to put them across from each other.
No.
Right?
No. Yeah.
No.
I texted him and made a casual bullshit combo and then dropped the real question. Where the fuck did these mirrors come from and why did you leave them? He acted super casual and told me he didn't remember and he just left them because there was no room in his new place. Like, who doesn't remember where they bought their furniture?
Yeah, no.
Anyways, now I know better, but I decided to do a little experiment. All the crystals I bought, I decided to place in front of the mirror and just dice roll this situation. So crystals in place that evening, I was watching a movie, drinking some vino on the couch. I passed out due to lack of sleep and wine to the face and was woken up by a loud knocking. Mm-mm. I immediately panicked, thinking someone was hurt and the police were at my door. I have no idea why that's the thought I had, but I jumped up and drew the curtain back. No one was there. Then I heard the knocking again from upstairs. My bold ass went upstairs and I followed the sound to my bedroom door where I looked up directly to the mirror across the room with all the crystals in front of it. I noped the fuck out of there and slept on the couch that night. The next day, I took the damn demon mirror down and put it reflective side down in the closet and closed the door. There will be no more mirror fuckery in my household. Ha! You thought. That night, I was woken up by a low bass sound, like when someone tries to be cool and bump their bass in their lifted truck, and it's so loud it shakes your windows.
We all know that.
Mm-hmm. Except it was 3 a.m. and there was no music playing. Collecting my thoughts, I looked around the room and realized that my bed was shaking. That's right, the whole fucking bed was vibrating.
Oh, okay.
I lifted my hand to make sure I wasn't totally cuckoo nut lady, and my hand was trembling from the shaking. I looked toward the closet door, and it was cracked open. The damn mirror wanted out.
Oh! Who's in that mirror, though?
I don't know. I'm never gonna look in a mirror today.
Who is it?
So hard pass on that, but I noticed the next morning that the closet door in the guest room was wide open. Mm-hmm. The guest room closet shares a wall with the closet in my room, and the mirror and this frickin' door was open. Cool, cool, cool. I also was dating someone at the time, and it wasn't going too hot because men. And one night, when I was trying to sleep, I saw a man in a military uniform in the bedroom doorway. Well, I do have a thing for a man in uniform. I really prefer my men to have a pulse.
You know what? Never settle. Never settle. We always say.
I decided to do some research on the house because I knew some shit went down here. I wasn't able to find a lot at first, and I am basically the FBI when it comes to finding out things. The next day, I did the same Google search, and one old newspaper article appeared. The article was about a funeral viewing for the owner of the house who died of pneumonia
or fluid in the lungs.
The viewing took place in the house. Oh, and remember the night that I woke up choking on fluid? Yes, I do. Kind of sounds like my guy, huh?
Does.
I did a little more research and found out that his wife was around my age when he died. He also had multiple children, and they were of a Slavic background, aka blonde hair, blue eyes. Guess who else is blonde-haired and blue-eyed?
You are.
Your girl.
You are.
After his death, she had two male tenants live in the house with her, but I wasn't able to find out any information on these gentlemen. My friend has a 4-year-old little boy with a sensory disorder who's like a nephew to me. This kid looks like my son, too, like blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby. He's not very social with people he doesn't know, and when he was in my house, he would insist on going in the basement. No. It's a typical Pittsburgh basement, dark cement and sad cobwebs. But he would literally take his mother and me by the hand and pull us towards this basement. We always let him go down there and play, and we would hear him chattering away and laughing down there. One time we asked him who he was talking to, and he just smiled. No. Another time, as we all stood at the top of the stairs, he looked at us both and pointed down to the basement and said, "Who's that man?"
No.
He also refused to go upstairs and would start to cry and scream when we tried to take him upstairs toward the bedrooms. His mama, one of my best friends, also reported some weird shit to me, that when she was upstairs, she felt like someone was right on top of her. She said it was like someone was walking too closely to you, and she felt like it was going to push her down the stairs.
Ooh.
When she told me this, I had also been experiencing that feeling of someone right on top of you. One night, I was walking down the stairs, my entire right side started to tingle, like I had fallen asleep and lost circulation to that side, but I was walking down the staircase. I looked it up thinking WebMD would tell me I was pregnant or dying, and one of the first things to come up was about spirits. Apparently, that's a sign that a spirit is touching you.
Ooh.
Like, bruh, you've entered my dreams now? We are getting touchy? Sir.
Sir.
Somehow, I made it through this entire nightmare month. I found out other owners had minor accidents here, like falling off a ladder and other misfortunes, but no other deaths. I wasn't able to find out what happened to Ghost Man's wife, as she seemed to completely disappear from existence after his obituary. I searched all over the internet trying to track down info on her or the children, but again, I found nothing. Things calm down for the most part. The guest room closet door still opens just for funsies every time I have a sketchy dream.
Cool.
I'm sure it's like a portal to hell or something, but I digress.
I'm sure it's just like, you know, like a portal to hell. It's fine.
Just like in my house.
It's cool. It's
no,
totally fine.
No big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. No, thank you. Recently, I started listening to a sleep meditation video on YouTube, and it's been getting spicy again.
Oh my God. I love that she said spicy.
I know.
Because I constantly like will tell John, like, you're spicy today. Or like, oh, yeah. I call you people say that spicy a lot.
Yeah.
It's so like, I love that.
It's like an older millennial salty.
It really is. It we is. Say spicy.
Yeah. My mom's good friend, who was like an aunt, recently passed away. And the evening she died, I woke up to the sleep meditation saying words that weren't in the script.
Oh.
Nothing scary, but nothing that made sense either. For the past few nights, the same thing has been happening. The voices double over like two people are speaking them. Random words are thrown in there. Something wakes me up just in time to hear a phrase that has no business being seeing in the video. I need to know what the phrase is. I also came home the other day from work and the guest bedroom door was completely closed. The door closes from the inside, so you'd have to pull it closed. So my precious mother's explanation of the cats just wasn't going to cut it.
No.
If you hang at the house long enough, everyone says they see little things out of the corner of their eye. It's pretty sketch, but like, yeah, either boss up or leave, because they clearly can sense when you're not about that spirit life.
Ooh.
I've also talked to multiple mediums who all, I don't know why I just stopped, eerily said the same thing. Honestly, I was going to burp and I was afraid that we might have to pause, but I didn't burp.
Bless you.
I also have talked to multiple mediums who have all eerily said the same thing. There is someone who is trying to give you a message. They told me to stop and invite it to communicate, which I think the fuck not. So in conclusion, I think my ghost confused me for his wife and was hella pissed when I was seeing someone. I've been single ever since, and I'm sure he's very pleased with himself. I guess I really will be single forever, lol. Anyways, I hope y'all enjoyed this story, as it is an ongoing one. And if you're ever in Pittsburgh, I will 100% come to a show and give you a tour of my real-life haunted house. Keep it weird, lovelies, but not so weird that your old man ghost thinks he's your husband and cockblocks you and tries to hold hands on the stairs and haunts all your friends to test their willpower.
I love to test their willpower.
This story is wild.
I really do think that he thinks you're his wife.
Or I do
like,
too.
Or at, maybe he doesn't even think you're his wife. Maybe he's just like trying to move on from maybe the afterlife. Like,
and he's your new lady. Hottie.
Yeah, he's like, hey girl.
Yeah, he's like, you're a hottie. You got a body. I mean, I'm a ghost.
You sound good. You got those blue eyes.
Blonde hair.
I'm in for it.
Get it, sister.
I get it.
Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the best-selling true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
I didn't even tell you this story because last night I got up in the middle of the night with like a vicious migraine that lasted the entire night. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And I had woken up like an hour earlier than that, or maybe like not even like 20 minutes before.
Wait,
can
I stop you just like really quick?
Yes.
I knew something paranormal happened at your house last night.
Oh, weird.
Do you remember I literally said to you, you were like going to tell me something else. And I was like, oh, I thought you were going to tell me something scary happened.
You did. You're right.
Yeah. I had a feeling that something weird happened at your house.
Ash always knows this shit. It's so weird. So weird. Well, my littlest one, who's like 18 months at this point, she has, I know I've like documented how she like just didn't sleep for 16 months straight.
She finally is.
She finally does sleep, but kind she of. Does wake up every now and then. And we either, you know, we usually don't have to go in there. She'll just kind of be like, and then she's like, all right, I'm going to sleep. But every time it wakes us up because we are parents and that's just what happens.
Well, and so she's like right there.
We end up sitting there like just waiting because you never know if you're going to have to go in there and like, you know, want to comfort her if she's upset. So last night I was just kind of listening to her. She's just kind of like fussing around. And then all of a sudden she sits up and she goes, no.
Oh, no, 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 no.
No. No. And she just keeps saying it and she's looking towards her door in her room and I was looking on the monitor.
I fucking told you about that
and
door.
And I got up and sailed across my hallway. I don't even think my feet touched the ground. You know that song that's
like, sail!
Yeah.
That's what you did.
Sail! And that's just in there. And I literally stood in that doorway. I rushed, I grabbed her out of her crib.
Oh, I don't like it.
And I stood in the room and I don't know what came over me, but I was in that room and I literally sat there and I was like, you fucking scare this child again. I was like,
Alina's ready to throw hands with the afterlife.
I'm not even kidding you. I was like, you know what? You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems. And I was like, we have been in this house for how long? And you have been nothing but gracious to us. And we have been nothing but gracious to you.
Yeah.
If you're going to act like this shithead in front of my child, then you're going to leave. And I will sage your ass out of here. So I was like, calm it down. But here's the thing.
You already saged that room.
She calmed down, though. Went right to sleep. I stayed in the room for a while and just kind of sat there.
Yeah.
Totally happy. Woke up smiling this morning. Everything's fine. But I was like, I'll throw hands.
She kept, remember, what was it, Rita that she kept asking for?
Who is it? It's, Oh, crap.
I thought it was Rita.
Is it? No, it's something like that.
I forget what it is. But she'll point at nothing and be like,
and she'll say a name.
Papa.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, she says like,
Ida. Actual,
Ida. That's Ida. What it is. She literally goes, Ida?
Ida?
And she'll point at someone. And like when we all go somewhere, she'll be like, Ida come in? Ida come in? And
it's like Ida's not
no,
coming.
Ida's actually not invited. She's busy.
And that's the thing. We've been in that house for a few years now and everything's fine. We have like some spooky stuff happen all the time, but nothing like malicious or anything like that. And so that's like, I got annoyed because I was like, we have a good thing going here.
Maybe it was the spooky people that were going to cut up the girl sheets. Like, maybe it's those.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
when they were like, Mama, somebody's going to, they come in with scissors and they cut up our sheets.
Yeah, it was when they first got into their big girl beds. It was like they were young and it was the first time they were like sleeping in these big girl beds. And that, in case like you hadn't heard the story on like an earlier episode, and one of them was saying, "I like there's people who keep coming into my room and
with
they have
scissors
and they're trying to cut my sheets," and I was like, "Awesome!" So I stood,
awesome.
I was like, "Okay, this is that moment as like a parent or someone who's taking care of a small child that you fear."
Yeah,
is
right?
that time when they tell you that a ghost is coming into their room?
I want like so many kids, and I'm so not looking forward to
but
that.
But you know what? It all of a sudden, like when it happens, though, you get this like
mom surge.
You motherfucker. And you're just like, I don't even give a shit that you are part of the metaphysical world. I'm going to like, so I immediately was like, all right, I got to take charge here of these scissors people. Like, not cute.
No.
So I went into the hallway where she said they were, and I stood there and I said, are they here? And she was like, yeah, they're right next to you.
Ugh.
And I was like, okay. And so I just turned and I was like, hello. And I,
hello.
Hello. And I was like, you are scaring my children. You must know that big scissors and cutting their sheets is rude. I imagine you're from the 1800s, so you should know that this is inappropriate behavior.
Hello.
I'd expect more from you. And I was like, please stop doing that. Like, we respect you. Please respect us. We can all live here together.
Yeah.
Never happened again. They never had another problem
in
that room again. And that's why this time I was like, all right, I got to take control again.
Listen.
Because I told them, I said, we can live here together. This is your house. This is my house. We can live here all together.
Yeah.
As one.
It was your house before it was mine.
It was your house before mine.
That's always my philosophy.
But it's my house now.
Yes.
And I'm allowing you to live in it.
Yes.
So let's all just respect each other. That's all. And if you scare my child again, I'm going to burn this place to the ground.
You're the youngest. It's so hard not to say their names.
I know.
The youngest room. I remember when it was like the guest room before she was born. And I remember sleeping in there and just being like, I don't know.
That room does have like a funky feel to me. But
I don't even like sitting in there during the day.
It just always, I don't know.
It's that closet too.
That closet does have like kind of a nasty feel to it.
What if it's a portal?
It's not. It's not a portal. And if it is a portal, then, you know, get out of here.
If it's a portal, it's not going anywhere. That's probably why your sage didn't work.
I hate to tell you, but that portal is not getting up and leaving. So, but
no. I hate to break it to you,
I hate
sister.
To tell you. But no, I just think it's, you know, I just think it's important to tell people that you're not gonna take their shit.
Yes.
That's all.
Even in the afterlife.
I didn't like that. And if it continues, we're going to have problems.
I didn't like that.
It was rude. I didn't like it. We've been nice. I haven't done anything to that house specifically to be like, I respect this house. I respect the history of this house. Don't come at me.
See,
like
I've said it once and I'll say it again. I love that my apartment is from 2016. I literally watched it be built. I remember that this land was literally just woods before. So I feel like we're good.
We're good. Yeah.
I hope.
We're good.
And then when it comes time for me to buy a house, I'm not going to buy an 1800s house.
No, don't do it.
It's haunt.
As beautiful as it is and
oh
as
my God,
wonderful
they're gorgeous.
As it is, you know, if you're not ready to deal with the previous occupants.
You're going to have to deal with the paranormal and probably put a new roof on her.
Exactly.
So just think of that.
There's a lot.
All right. What's next?
All right.
That was a long digress.
It was. But I think it was like a...
It was a good digress.
It was on the subject.
Yeah.
Well, this one is called Possessed Man on Freeway, Richard Ramirez and Turnbull Canyon.
Oh, just a couple.
Just a couple of subjects. It says, hello, my name is Todd. I became a fan of a podcast after the love of my life, Georgia, made me listen one day on a long drive.
The love
I love
of
that
your life?
So much.
I am going to say to Drew, you must refer to me as the love of your life from this day forward.
Oh, I literally, haven't you heard me do that? Like, John will say, like, come here. He'll be like, Elena. And I'm like, yes, love of my life.
Yeah, no, I've definitely heard you say
that. I literally call him that, like, daily.
No, but I want Drew to call me that.
Yes, my love of my life. Congratulations, as you are now preferred entertainment for long car rides.
That's Yay! Awesome.
She convinced me to write in and tell you my stories. So for her sake, I hope this makes it on. LOL. Heyo.
Hey, Georgia.
Love when that works out. Little background on myself. I am 31 and originally from Whittier, California, but I moved away in 2014 when I enlisted in the Navy after college. Wow. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
My dad was in the Navy.
Mine
too. Most of my career, I've been stationed in San Diego, which is roughly a 2 to 3 hour drive from Whittier. I think I'm saying Whittier right.
I think so.
If I'm not, I'm sorry. Depending on traffic.
Do you think it's like Whittier?
I think it's Whittier. I'm going to say Whittier because it sounds fun.
It is.
The majority of the drive is 100 miles straight shot up the 5 freeway, so it's pretty easy and actually pretty scenic since it's mostly along the coast. Given the close proximity, I frequently come home on weekends to visit family and friends. One weekend, I had gone to visit Georgia and had to be back to the ship on Sunday for duty morning by 0700. Shout out to my old shipmates on the USS Carl Vinson. So I woke my ass up around 0430. Is that how you say it? 0430?
Why are you asking me that? I have no fucking idea.
You know. 0430. And started driving down. Little did I know this drive would ultimately begin the worst, most traumatic experience of my life.
Uh-oh.
Damn. I was driving in the fast lane, about 85 miles an hour, technically over the speed limit, but hey, it's 0500 on Sunday morning, and that's the flow of traffic.
Oh, I feel that my bones.
You really do. When out of the corner of my eyes, I see something running across the freeway, then a large blue flash across my windshield, accompanied by hideous deep thud sounds.
Oh my goodness.
I go, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, and pull over after about 100 yards. It's pitch dark, but I get out of my Volkswagen GTI and inspect the front for damages. The entire front is smashed in, and my worst fear was affirmed when I see hair and blood embedded in the wreck.
Oh my goodness.
I call 911 frantically, tell them my location and that I've hit an animal or person on the 5 freeway. I pray to God that it's a coyote, and then they tell me to stay put, that a highway patrolman will be there shortly. Now I'm on the shoulder of a raised freeway, and a minute goes by, and I see a cop car down on the side street below that runs parallel to the 5. He's using his searchlight and going very slow. I wave him down and shout out, "Dude, you responding to a collision? I may have hit someone or something." He says, "No, but I'm looking for a man. Was that person wearing a hospital gown? Have you seen him?"
What?
The blue flash blasts across my mind.
I just got chills.
I go, oh God. The policeman told me to hold tight and drove up to the freeway. He inspected my car briefly and told me the man I had probably hit had escaped from a nearby hospital. He turned on his lights and went to find the body. I stood by my car still muttering, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit, softly to myself. As the sun rose, I could see the hospital where the man had fled from. I also noticed bits of paper all scattered all about. I picked one up and I noticed it was a page of Bible, which I thought was very strange.
Mm-hmm.
Soon after that, highway patrolman assigned to my 911 call came and took a report. He also told me more about the man I had hit. Apparently, the man had been experiencing wild, psychotic episodes where he thought that he was possessed by a demon. This demon was telling him to do violent things to himself and others. His mother had admitted him into the hospital, where he was seen by nurses to eat pages of the Bible, thinking that it would cure him of the voices.
Oh, that's really sad.
I know. The police had the opinion that he had ran intentionally across the freeway, and that his suicide was a way to stop this suffering. I had just been the unlucky one to have hit him.
Wow.
Oh my goodness, my heart for you. The Bible part turned my stomach. I was still holding the scrap of paper in my hand. I opened it up and it was a page from Revelations. And it said, "And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird."
Ooh. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. The accident had a very deep psychological effect on me.
I know, that's horrible that you had to
Seriously.
Deal with that.
I suffered from night terrors and anxiety while driving for years afterwards.
I can't even imagine.
Can you, getting on a highway again?
That's PTSD.
Good for you for still doing it. Particularly, I would dream the accident in slow motion, whereas man was visible but having extremely gaunt features with exposed bone and charred flesh, surrounded by an almost glowing blue aura. I would also dream that the figure was somehow following me in completely unrelated dreams about my childhood, at work, with Georgia, etc. Oh, he would just show up.
Yeah.
One particular scary incident involved me seeing the figure coming up the stairs to my bedroom. I yelled, "Go away, get out." Then I leapt up and rushed at it with a fist clenched. I awoke to the sound of Georgia's scream as she crumpled into a defensive shell and gripped the banister for dear life. She had gone downstairs to get a drink of water. I had almost punched her down a 30-foot spiral staircase.
Oh my goodness.
That is so much PTSD.
Yes.
This was a literal wake-up call. And this is the part that's so important. I began therapy and began taking medication that basically prevented me from lucid dreaming. I want everyone, especially men, and especially men in the military, to know that therapy was incredibly helpful. The night terrors stopped, and now only my snoring prevents Georgia from sleeping. Aww. Thank you for reading and hopefully telling my story. Since I'm from Whittier, I also have an unrelated but super interesting story about Turnbull Canyon and the most infamous Angeleno of all time, Richard Ramirez. Technically, he was born in Texas, so we don't claim his sorry ass. My dad was hiking one day with a friend in Turnbull Canyon, probably smoking a J because it was the early 80s. They get to the hillside that is adjacent to a property that my dad always referred to as Satan's Castle. I know you're probably thinking, damn, dude, this canyon has a Hell's Gate and a Hangman's Tree and now Satan's Castle.
Yeah,
why the
right?
fuck would you hike it? The answer is probably unanswerable, but Turnbull was the wild when the wildflowers bloom and the breeze quaffs the smell of eucalyptus trees has an enchanting serenity that makes it great to hike. Find a view and a drink. And drink a cold one or smoke a bowl.
Obsessed.
Anyways, my dad explained to me that Satan's Castle was a large mansion that had been owned by numerous cults over the years, but at this time was rumored to be owned by Anton LaVey's Satanic Church. Being a hippie, he had heard that many people had come to the house to trip and party, but he also heard terrible stories about young girls being drugged and being coerced into performing weird rituals and sex acts. It was near this place that my dad's friend found a wallet. It was at a spot where it looked like someone had tried to climb off trail up the hill to the castle, but had slid. The idea in that wallet was that of, drum roll, you guessed it, Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker.
Bro.
What?
Did he return the wallet?
At the time, Richard Ramirez was not known to be the monster he was, so they kept the cash and chucked the wallet with ID.
Iconic.
But my dad and his friends clearly remembered the name and especially his face, because my dad told me, quote, he looked like Jim Morrison's evil twin.
Wow.
And he shared the same last name, Ramirez, as a friend of theirs.
Oh, that's funny.
When Ramirez was caught, my dad's friend told police about the ID, but it never amounted to anything because I think every Angeleno had a Ramirez sighting at that point. What's freaky to me is how close Turnbull is to the Zazara murders that Ramirez committed. Their house and pizza parlor businesses were 5 minutes away from the entry road on the west side of the canyon. Given Ramirez's obsession with the occult, it's spooky if nothing else. Also, four of his victims are buried in Rose Hills Cemetery that makes up a large area of the north side of the canyon.
Wow.
Anyways, thanks for reading my long-ass but hopefully enjoyable, creepy, fucked-up email. Stay weird. Respectively, Todd. P.S. Feel free to use my real name. How fucked up is it that after the accident, my nickname on the ship became Teardrop Todd?
Stop.
Oh my god.
That is fucked up.
Todd, first of all, what a great way of telling that story. Like, I saw everything.
You're a really good writer.
You're a great writer. You're a great storyteller. Thank you so much for bringing the fact that therapy is important and helpful and something that if you feel like you want and would help you, that
yes.
you should absolutely seek out if you can.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
And that Richard Ramirez story, like Richard Ramirez and Turnbull Canyon just mashing up together.
Wow. Wow.
Like, I couldn't ask for more.
Yeah, that was a great story. Damn. And seriously, therapy is great. I love therapy.
There you go.
Everybody
We're
go get therapy.
We're big proponents of therapy here.
All right. My next one is called Never a Victim, Forever a Fighter. And I love that. It says, hey, ladies, first, I'd like to preface this by saying how absolutely wonderful you two are and that I love your podcast so much. Y'all are amazing. And I love listening to your banter as it reminds me of me and my sisters. Now,
I love that so much.
Thank you. Now, I apologize ahead of time as I am not the best writer. So please bear with me. I'm sure you're an amazing writer.
I'm sure you're going to kill it.
And actually, I know that you are because I already read this. After listening to some of the other listener tales and the story of Kellyanne Bates, it inspired me to share my story. Not many people know what happened to me except my mom's sisters and my fiance. But back in 2013, when I met my boyfriend at the time and thought I was in love and that he would be my happily ever after. But I was also 18 at the time, so what the fuck did I know?
We've all been there.
Yeah, seriously, the people I dated at that age, woof. At first, everything was wonderful, and it seemed like the honeymoon phase would never end. We were together for a total of 3 years, but the abuse didn't start until about a year and a half in.
Wow.
I can't imagine being with someone for a year and a half and, like, thinking you know them.
And then just a switch flip.
The other side of them that you must experience.
Ugh.
It's just so sad. By this point, we had moved in together, and I thought we were starting our life together. The abuse began with tearing me down mentally and emotionally. This was easy for him as he knew I had a bit of a fucked up childhood and suffered from severe depression and anxiety.
Oh.
He convinced me that I was worthless and that he was going to do me a favor by being with me, that nobody could ever love someone as damaged as me.
Jesus.
Oh my God, that makes me want to cry.
How evil you have to be to like prey on someone's insecurity like that.
And it's like, you're not damaged. Like, no, I hate that word to describe a person. Like, you're not damaged. You just had bad experiences. Once he broke me mentally and emotionally, the physical and sexual abuse started. The abuse went on for years, and I was always so scared to leave because he knew where I worked, where all my family lived, and he would always threaten them and my beautiful chihuahua, because it's a chihuahua and wiener dog mix at the time, and her name was Ginger.
Oh my god,
how do you number one like beat a person, but how do you threaten an animal?
I know.
He convinced me that this was what I deserved and that I wasn't going to find anything better, so I stayed.
After three years, finally
telling my mom what was happening, I got out.
Good for you.
My family did everything in their power to help me, including paying the ridiculous amount to get my name off the lease, helping me get into therapy, etc.
I'm so glad you had, like, family that
was you
there.
Need
like
that.
A support system to help you.
Yeah.
Because that's when these things get really bad, is when you don't have someone to help you get out of
you
it.
You just get
I
so
feel like
isolated.
You need, like, a village to help get out of these situations.
I agree. Well, about 6 months later, I finally started to feel safe again. I was beginning to turn into the old me. I missed her very much, but I must say, But unfortunately, nobody at the time told me that fresh air is for motherfucking dead people.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. I'm so stressed. So my dumb ass had my bedroom window open on my first floor apartment while I was making myself dinner in the kitchen. I had my music playing kind of loud, so I didn't hear anything until it was too late. My piece of shit, wet lettuce, cum stain of an ex stuck through my window and attacked me. While I'm standing there at my stove, this asshole comes up behind me and puts a belt around my neck.
That would be terrifying.
I cannot imagine. This, of course, startled the shit out of me as I was just trying to make my ass a nice plate of chicken Alfredo. He pushed me forward and it caused my arm to come down onto the searing hot stovetop. Through all the screaming and fighting back, thankfully my neighbor got the sense that something was off and came rushing over. After kicking in my door, my neighbor saw me struggling to fight off my ex, all while trying to loosen the belt. So he rushed in and put my ex in a chokehold until he passed out. Did I forget to mention that my neighbor was also a sweet older man named Carl, who was a Vietnam vet?
Yes!
Carl for the win!
Yes!
We love a hero. Well, Carl saved my life that day and stayed there with me even after the cops took my ex away to make sure that I was okay until my mom got there.
Oh, Carl!
Carl and I no longer live next door to each other, but we are still very close and stay in contact often. Oh my God, I fucking love Carl.
Oh my God, I love this.
My ex thankfully received 15 years for attempted murder. Should be so much more. And I was given the opportunity to move on with my life. I am now engaged and have two beautiful stepsons that are my world.
Oh, this is like making my whole body warm.
I apologize for the length of this email.
No,
never. But if you're interested, maybe I can share the time when I was vacationing right next to a murderer or how I saw my grandma's ghost through most of my childhood, scaring the hell out of my father.
Yes,
to both. Anyways, I love the both of y'all, and I hope to be able to come to one of your live shows after all this COVID stuff comes to an end. Keep up the great work and keep it weird. And then she attached a picture of Ginger. Oh my God, her
you
arm.
You beautiful little baby.
Her arm from the stove burn out.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, your tattoo is amazing.
Oh.
I love that so much.
Girl, like that was phenomenal.
Wow, you're a bad bitch.
When you say never a victim, forever a fighter, you really mean never a victim, forever a fighter. Like, what? That was amazing.
That was awesome.
Wow. Okay.
What's next?
All right. I think this is probably the last one we'll do, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
I guess. Let's see. We'll end on kind of like a lighter one, I guess.
Wait, you should do one and then I should do one because I have one that I didn't read yet.
Okay.
That I love.
Then cool. We'll do two more. All right. I'll do one that's called A Tale Including Jackie Onassis, a Cowboy, and Possibly Keanu Reeves.
I'm obsessed.
Because I think it's important. That's what I think.
Keanu Reeves is very important.
It is very important. All right. It says, my only paranormal experience with Jackie Onassis, a cowboy, and possibly Keanu Reeves. While this tale is not full of rape attempts, stab wounds, or creepy stalkers, it was still quite an experience for me.
Sounds like it.
So while I am here writing my first listener tale after being entertained by your podcast for about 4 months, I guess at the beginning, like I hear from other listener tales, I'm supposed to gush over you both and share how great, witty, and interesting you two
are. You don't have to do that.
How you make the macabre entertaining while teaching us lessons along the way. Well, weirdos, it's all true. Love the podcast.
Thank you.
I love you. Before I go into the only paranormal experience I have ever had, I wanted to share that I often listen to your episodes with my children.
Aww.
They are 13, 15, and 17 years old.
All right, that's acceptable.
If you can give a shout out to Emmy, Will, and Audrey, I know they would love it. Hi, Emmy, Will, and Audrey.
Emmy, Will, Audrey, what's up?
The coolest.
The coolest kids.
The coolest kids with the coolest parents. Oh, from a teaching perspective, we all have learned to keep our eyes alert, our heads on a swivel, and as I have often heard, help no one.
Ever.
Yes. Additionally, my girls are now affected by your episodes, as Emmy could not sleep in her own room for a week, fearing black-eyed children were going to make their way into her room.
Me too, Emmy.
Audrey nervously checks the back seat of her car before driving and is aware that there are sickos out there that may want to cut off her left breast with a piano wire a la the Chicago Ripper crew. So, hey, we're just keeping it 100 out here.
Yeah, you gotta.
So, thanks for teaching and putting the ungodly fear into the family.
Anytime. Happy to be of service.
Now on to my tale. This goes back to 1983 when I was in college. Yes, I'm an old turd, but this likely helps your statistics in attracting the older demographic.
I love you. You're great.
My friend and I signed up for our school ski trip over the Christmas holiday to Banff, Canada?
Yeah.
Like badass Canada? Banff, Canada. For the geographically challenged, it's roughly above western Montana and Idaho. Thank you, because that was me. Mm-hmm. If you don't know where Montana and Idaho are, I can't be blamed for your community's meager method of teaching U.S. states back in fifth grade. That's very true.
I mean,
same. Who can be blamed? Except for them.
The school system.
The hotel we checked into is the Banff Springs Hotel.
It's just reminding me of MySpace when you could say that you were feeling like a BAMF.
Yeah, like a badass motherfucker. So there are only two words that should come to mind when you think of the BAMF Springs Hotel, and that is The Shining.
Ooh.
I have included a few pics of the castle-like hotel that's nestled in the Banff National Park, surrounded in a forest atmosphere. While The Shining was not filmed there, it could have. Research about the Banff Springs Hotel reveals I have not been the only person to have paranormal experiences in this medieval castle. There are countless stories of apparitions in hallways and ballrooms and the often cited, unexplained, ghostly experiences in the guest rooms. This is where I come in. Day 6 of 10. Our objective on this day was like the previous 5. Grab some of our friends on the floor and make our way downstairs to where the bus would shuttle us to Lake Louise for a day of skiing. Note this is day 6, which means we are well familiar with our hallway and the rooms our friends are staying in. Like in school, while I couldn't remember my science class was in room 208, I knew the path in that it was right next to the water fountain and bulletin board with postings of free guitar lessons and weed for sale.
Obsessed.
Like on days 1 through 5, my roommate and I would walk down the roughly 100-foot straight-ass hallway, so there were no turns to screw us up. I have a feeling you're going to get screwed up. On day six, we knocked on the door that we have knocked on for 5 days prior, and after more knocks than usual, the door slowly opened. In the room, leaning against the dresser where the TV was placed, an attractive woman, dressed in some sort of long black negligee, was standing silently.
Ooh.
Spicy. She looked like the spitting image of Jackie Onassis, JFK's main squeeze, if you don't count Marilyn Monroe. I love that you said that. If it was not her, it was some other black-haired, attractive woman gracing us. She stood in silence when we noticed she was standing across from a cowboy-type man. He looked about 50 years old, with a cowboy hat on, holding a drink in a glass that resembled the golden color of whiskey. Okay, a normal reaction to this scene would have one thinking we stumbled into the wrong room, where Cowboy Joe was hiring this young lady for special favors. Remember, my children are likely listening to this, so I am trying not to be too explicit. Still thinking our friend may have been entertaining the night prior and his guests may not have left yet, we asked, "Where is Paul?" That was our friend. Neither Jackie O nor the cowboy responded. We asked again in a more hurried voice, "Is Paul here?" Not thinking about anything about ghosts or hauntings. We were just nervous we were going to miss the bus to the mountain. Again, no response from either entity in the room. Somewhat annoyed, we left the room and started walking down the hallway. At second thought, we still wanted to get our friend for the bus trip, and we thought we would try again. Please note, we probably only walked about 40 feet, or 3 rooms in length, down the hallway.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Upon knocking on the same freaking door, our friend Paul answered.
What?
Our first question was, "Okay, Paul, where is she?" Thinking maybe he picked up a young lady at the bars that night prior and was hiding her. He said, "Who?" We said, "The girl that was in your room with a cowboy." Sounds like a funky gathering. He questioned our sobriety and said he's been waiting patiently for us and was getting annoyed we were late. At that moment, the chill through our bones could be heard rattling as we both rushed our way into the room and started looking all around for the two guests we saw in the exact same room no more than 2 minutes ago. The next piece of information really made us get queasy and haunting feeling. You know how in hotel rooms, some rooms have the bed on one side, yet in another room, the bed layout of the room might be opposite? Well, that's what we noticed. When Jackie O greeted us, the layout of the room was opposite to what we experienced when we made our way into Paul's room. Paul thought we were drunk, yet we both could not stop freaking out. Okay, so where does Keanu Reeves come in?
That's what I was thinking this whole time.
While he was not part of the gathering in the hotel room, I kind of wonder what would have occurred if I had crossed the line from the hallway into the room. Would I have been catapulted through some wormhole, another dimension, or Matrix-style crap with Keanu? Nearly 40 years after this event, whenever I run into my friend that experienced this with me, we both get that disturbing feeling recalling the events. The spookiest part, as we replay the events in our heads, was the fact that Jackie and the cowboy just stood there with no response. Come on, who doesn't at least respond with a "no" or "you got the wrong room"? You know who doesn't? Ghosts.
Yeah, because just like they, like, I feel like they don't hear us all the time.
No.
Just like we don't hear them all the time.
So I think maybe they thought... So that whole thing that happened in the Lizzie Borden house with us...
Changed my viewpoint on ghosts forever.
The host of the tour said, sometimes ghosts are like us, where they think they're being haunted.
Yeah.
Like, they hear us moving around in their house, and they're like, what the fuck was that?
Right.
Maybe it was the same thing.
Because they're stuck in that dimension, I guess.
So it says, I know what you or their listeners might be saying. We were drunk. We didn't go back to the same room. To that I say... Hogwash.
I love it.
While I welcome to be part of a nice paranormal events, my life has been void of them except for this experience. It was real, I tell you. Thanks, you two spooky girls. Now on to the next tale that likely won't feature a cowboy and Jackie Onassis.
Aw, man.
And this was sent by Bill. And Bill, you fucking rock.
I'm obsessed.
And he also sent some really cool, he sent some other cool, like, paranormal events from this hotel. Where there's, like, haunted rooms, of course. There's a dead bride.
There's always a dead bride.
There's always a dead bride. And I guess you can, you can see her walking around and there's something with a fire with her. You can see a veiled figure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'm saying.
Dang.
So, Bill, you're the best. And your kids are the best. You're the best.
You guys are better than all the rest.
I loved this story.
That was a really good one.
And I love that immediately... Like, I love that this woman wasn't just like, this looked like a woman from that era. And
he was like, no, this was Jackie
Onassis.
Like, that's Jackie.
I don't care what you say. It was Jackie Onassis.
My best Judy Jackie.
It was. I feel it.
I think it was.
It was. It was Jackie Onassis and a cowboy. She was getting hers.
Yeah. I mean, what else was she Good supposed to do after JFK kicked it?
Yeah. Good for her.
Get it, girl.
Bill.
Bill. Well, this next one really grabbed my attention with the subject line, killer roommate at large.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah,
so we'll do it.
Let's get into it. Hey, girls, you can call me Vic. Longtime fan over here. You girls are the bomb, but y'all already know that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I've been into true crime stories since I was a kid, and your podcast is by far the best one out there, in my humble opinion. Thank you. I was a Patreon member, but once COVID hit, I had to nix some monthly expenses. I hope you guys understand. I promise I'll be back very soon.
Hey. We get it.
Of course we understand. I have three creepy, weird crime stories. I was having a hard time landing on which one to tell you guys. Perhaps if you enjoy this one, I can send in another. I don't know. Let me not get ahead of myself. I haven't formally written anything in over 15 years, so don't bank on this being any Pulitzer Prize-worthy storytelling over here.
I don't know. I'm banking on it.
I'm banking on it, sister. I decided to tell you the most recent story. It happened only back in October of 2020, and the case is still active. Maybe someone knows something, maybe someone can help. Who knows? Crazier things have happened, especially lately. Without further ado, let's dive right into it. My older brother has a 3-bedroom condo in Bayonne, New Jersey? Bayonne?
Sorry, I got distracted.
Bayonne, New Jersey.
That sounds good.
For close to 16 years now. Bayonne, for the... I feel like I'm going to get roasted for this. I feel like it's not Bayonne.
I know, and I couldn't find the word quick enough to help you.
I don't know.
I was like, I can't find it. I don't know where you are.
I'm just going to go with it. Roast me.
Yeah.
Bayonne, for those of you unfamiliar, is right across the Hudson River from New York City. Throughout the years, he has had a plethora of roommates come and go. Sometimes he would have both extra rooms rented out, and sometimes he would live by himself. In his mid-20s, he would rent out to friends, but once he hit his 30s, you know how it goes. Everyone gets married, lives on their own, etc. For a while as well, he lived on his own, but at the age of 32, he decided to change careers and go back to school. Bills got tight and he had to rent out a room or two. He asked around to the people he knew. No one was looking for a place at the time, so he decided to put up an ad on Craigslist. I made jokes that he was going to end up with a murderer.
Uh-oh.
He found this guy, Alex. He was in his late 20s at the time. He seemed chill and he had a stable income. Let's be real. Those are the two most important traits to have in a roommate.
Yes.
My brother drew up a lease, made copies of his driver's license, you know, all the things you do when you're renting out a space to another person. He lived there pretty much without an issue for over 5 years. He was cool with my brother. He was awesome with my brother's dog. But he came with a touch of drama. He had two girlfriends. For a couple years, without anyone knowing about the other. Or without one knowing about the other, which is extremely sleazy, and I don't condone that type of behavior, but come on, keeping that shit hidden for close to 2 years is a teeny bit impressive. Don't come for me.
I feel it.
It is impressive.
It is impressive. Not good.
Double lives are always impressive, just because I'm like, I can barely keep track of this one that I'm living, so.
It's not a good impressive.
No. Alex never really pulled my brother into his shit. It was more of a, hey, please don't mention them to each other type of thing. It's not like my brother hung out with him and his girls. It was strictly a roommate relationship. relationship. Flash to this past October. One afternoon, my brother called me and was like, "You won't believe the scene going on in front of my place right now." Apparently, the jig was up. Ooh. One girlfriend found out about the other girlfriend, and they were fighting in my brother's driveway. Me, being so deathly bored in quarantine, was so down for some gossip and drama. I instructed him to stop talking and listen to what they were saying. I just wanted to know. I was being nosy, whatever. It was a lot of name-calling, screaming, typical fighting, but at the end, the girlfriend who ended up leaving yelled to Alex something along the lines of, "I will tell everyone who you really are."
Oh,
what the fuck does that mean?
That's
what Vic wrote.
I'm saying.
What the fuck does that mean? That fight happened on a Monday. Alex left that night with the girl who had stayed. Like, why did you say stay? Come on, sis. That's what they said. I didn't say that. It wasn't unusual for him to be gone for a few days at a time. Wednesday afternoon rolls around and Alex comes home. My brother said he seemed very scatterbrained and started packing a bag. He informed my brother that he would be back later on in the day to pick up some more things and that he was going to stay with family for a few weeks. My brother said Alex was in and out so fast he didn't even get to ask him many questions. A few hours later, two men and the girlfriend who stayed showed up at my brother's door with the motherfucking key. They let themselves in like it was nothing, said they were there to grab some of Alex's things. My brother, understandably weirded out, called Alex to confirm this and also to mention how uncool the whole thing was. They grabbed the things and left. That actually is really uncool.
That is really uncool.
Like, don't show up at my house if I don't know you. That whole week, I was gossiping to my brother about the whole thing because it was weird as fuck. Until my brother receives a knock on his door Friday morning. It was the police. They were looking for Alex. The girlfriend who left that Monday was found beaten to death with a weight in her apartment. You remember the one who said that ominous shit about telling people who he really is?
Oh,
that
shit.
One. My brother had been super cooperative with the police. He has been formally interviewed. He allowed them access to his home. And while in Alex's bedroom, they find a birth certificate, driver's license, parole paperwork, all under the name Eric Acosta.
Uh-oh.
And so the plot thickens. This guy, he had some previous arrest and such, so he got a new identity. Alex. So he fled. No one knows where he went. He's been charged with the murder of 40-year-old Crystal Ojeda, I think is how you say it. They have CCTV footage from Crystal's apartment showing Eric was there. You can look up pictures of him in articles online. Just Google Eric Acosta in Bayonne, New Jersey. Maybe someone has seen him. Let's all hope that someone has seen him. And yes, my brother immediately changed his locks. Thanks for taking the time to read this. I wish I was more eloquent, but whatever. It's been a long week. Much
holy
love, Vic.
Holy shit.
First of all, that was like super eloquent. And second of all, holy shit. Your brother had a whole ass stranger living in his apartment.
A whole ass murderer.
A murdering stranger.
A murdering the strangers.
That is so scary.
In your apartment.
See, that's why just don't even talk to people. Never mind, don't help people. Just don't even talk
just
to people.
Just don't even talk to
just
anyone.
Just don't interact.
Yeah, just honestly, just keep to yourself.
Yeah.
You don't need anyone.
You just need you.
Because that's really scary.
That's so scary.
And that's so sad that he was playing these two girls and then one of them
ended up dead.
That's terrifying. That's terrifying.
Also wonder, she said that he was like in his 20s. I wonder if he really was or if he was like lying.
Yeah, you have no idea.
Because it said that the girlfriend that passed away was like 40.
At this point, it could be anything.
That's so wild.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
I don't like it.
Well, that was like a really fun batch of listeners.
Damn,
tales.
You guys brought it this
to the
week.
Table reading.
Brought it.
Yeah.
So thank you. And keep sending them in. morbidpodcast@gmail.com and just make sure you use the subject line listener tales and then whatever you want to name it. Ash would like you to include the word yeet.
And a lot of you have, and I appreciate it.
But, you know, I don't require that, but, like, it's fun.
I don't require it, but I do encourage it.
It's encouraged. It is.
Well, guys, we hope you keep listening.
And we hope you
keep
it weird.
But not so weird that you move into a house that has, like, a portal in it, because that would really, really suck. Not so weird that you keep your bedroom door open, just or the window open, never keep your window open. Fresh air is certainly for dead people. Not so weird that you go to a hotel and see Jackie O, although I do think that maybe you should keep it that weird because that would be a pretty cool experience. Not so weird that your boyfriend literally sees people get murdered and they know exactly where he is on the dark web. Just don't go anywhere near the dark web. And I think that I also don't want you to keep it so weird that you get a fucking roommate that is not who you thought your roommate was. Bye.
I don't want you to keep it that weird either.
No.
Thank you.
If you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run dark. In this new crime thriller, religion and crime collide when this small Montana community is rocked by a gruesome murder. As the town is whipped into a frenzy, everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager. But local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Lauro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. She and Ruth form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone's watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy Award nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook plunges listeners into the dark underbelly of a small town where the lines between truth and deception are blurred, and even the most devout are not who they seem. Chinook is available to listen to now exclusively with your Wondery Plus subscription. You can subscribe to Wondery Plus on the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.